Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Back to our passage. The men had verse 7. By the way, men, you go back through those seven ways that you can give loving security, and you can find the root of those all in verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's making your house a home, needs to be needed, quantity time and quality time. But then notice this, giving honor, helping her valued and cherished, helping her make her house a home, resolving situations, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, ladies, there's six verses preceding that. I want you to look at these six verses, and we're going to stop, and I want to give you what I consider to be the most important truth in these six verses. And we are going to ask the Lord to be with the reading of this scripture. Now, we've got on the back, you notice, ladies, three ways a wife can give. I think a husband's greatest need is respect and affirmation. Respect and affirmation. There are three. Now, I know some of you guys are going, hey, we got seven. Well, let me tell you something, guys. If the girls do these three, you will be very, very pleased, I'm telling you. And they will take care of all of our needs in these three areas. But let's look at this, and I want to ask God to be with this session and to be with this. I'm 66. There's so many things in our country right now that I never thought could be possible. But I will tell you this. The biggest buffoons, the biggest enemies that Hollywood, television, and social media has portrayed are married men. They're... I will tell you, ladies, there's only three things I'm going to ask you to really be committed to your husband. But I'm telling you right now, I know we could go on forever and ever about what's happening to femininity, but I am telling you, masculinity is being destroyed. And we have got to build up men. And it is a great need of respect and affirmation. And they're just being told that they're the, in any commercial, that there is a woman and a man, the man will be the jerk. The man will be, any commercial, that there's any kind of relationship, any kind of thing going on between the man and the woman, the man is the stupid one, the man is the jerk, the man is the idiot, the man is the one who did wrong, and the woman is the hero. And it's true in sitcoms, it's true in all Hollywood movies, and yet one of the greatest needs, or the greatest need of a man is respect and affirmation, and we live in a culture that is just destroying biblical masculinity. And so I'm going to read these six verses, but I even want prayer on the verses as we read them, and then I want to give you, ladies, three ways a wife can give respect and affirmation to her husband. Father, need your help. They have listened so well. Our day's far from being over. And Lord, I know at some point you just feel like it's the fire hydrant, Lord. We're just overwhelmed with all of the material. And that's why, Lord, I just pray that every man would just get one or two truths from what we just gave, and their marriage begin to change in those couple areas. Lord, I don't expect any man to get everything we just gave. But you know, Father, in a way, I do expect every woman to get these three truths. And Father, I pray that their conscience would be built up in the seeing the importance to give this to their husband. And Father, especially that closing illustration, I just really pray that some ladies really get some things taken care of. And so, Lord, we dedicate this time to you. I pray that the reading of 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6 will speak to hearts. And Lord, you're the one who created marriage. It's your gift to us. So may we listen to the manual now And may these ladies, I know I'm a man, Father, they know that. But Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to every wife in this room about what they're going to hear now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And God's children said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I think we're going to really help you understand that today, maybe better than ever. That if any obey not the word, doesn't necessarily mean that they're not saved. They could be a saved husband who's not obeying the word. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word, so they don't have to be talked to by you, be won by the conversation. Now that is a key word. That has the idea of conduct. Be won by the conduct of their wives. Ladies, it's not what you say, it's the way you live. While they behold your chaste, clean, innocent conduct, conversation coupled with fear. Men are very visual. Men are sexually stimulated visually. Men are extremely visual. So it isn't so much, ladies, what you say. It's the way you look, because they're observing everything. And I know you said, my husband is not observant at all. Let me tell you something. You start doing something different, he picks up on that immediately. Men are visual. Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. A calming, confident attitude that influences. That's what, listen to me. When we get done, don't you ever leave here going like, well, you know, Brother Shetler is pretty chauvinistic the way that he pictures a woman. Let me tell you this. You asked me afterwards, greatest influence in your life, Jim. And I know you want me to tell some preacher, some pastor, or some man. Let me tell you this. Two greatest influences in Jim Shetler's life, my mother and my wife. Nobody has ever influenced me nearly as much as Marilee has influenced. So, listen, I believe women have incredible influence, and you do not influence as a woman by trying to be a man. You influence by being a woman. That meek and quiet spirit will give you incredible impact and influence in your children, in your community, in your church, in your world, and in your marriage. Meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, now here it comes, and everyone, I want everyone to say these three words. Here we go. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who, and I'm going to tell you, in this entire passage of Scripture, the next three words, ladies, are the key to subjection, to submission, and everything. Who what? Everyone together, what are the next three words? Okay, that was terrible. Everyone together, what are the next three words? Trusted in God. Trusted in God. Now, ladies, we're going to come back to this in a minute, but I'm going to just tell you this right now. This is the key to the whole subjection thing. Ultimately, you are ultimately not submitting to your husband. Ultimately, you're trusting God for the authority of your husband. There is no question, ladies, that there's probably more wisdom with you, more insight with you than your husband has. There's probably no question that if you're talking about raising the kids, you may have a better perspective. But you know what? That is not the key. The key is for every one of you women to trust God, that God will work through your husband. And that God will work on your husband. And I'm telling you, the key to this entire passage are those three words. So I'm going to kind of run through it again. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women, that's what you want to be, ladies. The holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves being in subjection unto their own husbands. Hey, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham by trusting in God. Calling him Lord. Now, we won't go that far today, okay? But the point is, Everything Sarah did was she was trusting God for the leadership of Abraham, whose daughters ye are, girls, ladies, husband, wives, all as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So I'm going to give you three ways now how you can give respect and affirmation to your husband. Number one, you probably already got it down, verbal praise. Verbal praise. Now, everyone needs encouragement, man. Everyone needs words of affirmation, but not like your husband. Now, I'm going to say a statement. It's not to scare you, okay? It's to give you truth. It's to give you truth, and here goes. Your husband will always be vulnerable to where he gets praise. He will always be vulnerable to where he gets praise. Now, immediately I say that, and you think, oh, you think my husband's going to run away with another woman. Well, I will tell you, he will always be vulnerable to wherever he's getting praise. But you know what? He may get that praise from his buddies. He'd rather be out with the guys because the guys respect him more than you do. No one on planet Earth should praise your husband verbally more than you ladies. You praise your husband Brother Sean, I'm with you. As soon as my husband does something to be praised about, I will. All right, stop. Stop. That you are at this conference with your husband, he ought to be praised about. Well, you don't know what I had to do. No, no. You and I both know if you're here, it's because he did it. And you know what? You ought to thank God for that. You know what? You need to get off that critical, negative filter. And you need to start praising your husband. And I will tell you, your husband responds to praise. Now, I'll tell you a story. I'm going to tell you this right now. I pastored for 25 years. Two churches, one for 6.5 years in Santa Maria, the other 18 years at the campus church. Every Sunday morning when the service ended, I came down from the platform. I picked up my wife, by hand. And it was quite a thing. Man, people just came to church to watch me carry my wife out. No. But I would come down and grab a hold of my wife, and we would walk out together. Now, let me tell you this. Didn't happen every Sunday. But I will tell you this. That we got a bunch of old ladies that are going to come through and say, Pastor, that's the best message I ever heard. We'll have visitors go like, man, I got to tell you, man. That message was amazing. But I'm going to tell you, nothing meant the same as when we get out of that foyer, Marilee would squeeze a hand and say, hey, Jim, God used you today. You say, oh, so you preached for your wife. No. But to get verbal respect and affirmation from my wife means more to me than anything. There is nothing anyone's going to say this weekend to me about, hey, I'm really encouraged about really that message on victory was great. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. I love to hear that. I love to know if something happened. But I will tell you, there is nothing like Marilee giving me affirmation and praise and verbal confirmation of what I'm doing is right. And I will tell you, every man in this room would give anything for their wife to say something about what they do. And if they're the plumber, then whatever it is. I mean, whatever your husband does well. And I'm, you know what? We haven't talked anything about this, but whether it's physical intimacy or whether it's the way that he runs the checkbook or takes care of the car or whatever, you find something. And if you're sitting out there right now and you go like, I'm just sorry, there's just not, then you ask God to show you something. Because you know what, ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you honor is what you're going to get. And when your husband does something right, you are all over that, praising him. He will follow. He'll keep, I'm going to keep doing that. Because this is one of the greatest needs that a man has. You and your husband, you are your husband's biggest cheerleader. Your husband will be vulnerable to wherever he gets praise. His identity is more grounded in what he does than you, ladies. And you may not understand that, but that's the way God made him. Verbal praise is huge. And if you are a male in America today, I am telling you, You are starving for verbal affirmation and praise. Give your husband praise, number one. Number two, stay a challenge. Stay a challenge. There's just something about Mary Lee that she has always been a challenge to me. Her spiritually, her walk with God. I know if I don't have my devotions, Mary Lee's going to have her devotions. I know if there was a point in my life that I didn't go to church, my wife would still go to church. My wife has a walk with God that spiritually challenges me. Her character, your virtue, your meekness, your quiet spirit, that's a challenge. That's virtue. And there's value in virtue. And that's what makes you valuable. What makes you valuable isn't that you can play the piano or make a good meal. What makes you valuable is your character. And that makes you a challenge to your husband. That's the way God created us, ladies. The way that God created us, men, is that we want to pursue. We don't want to be run at. We want to challenge. Stay a challenge. And physically. Well, yeah, okay. So you're in your 40s now and you don't look the way you did in your 20s. That isn't the point. The point is you do take care of yourself. The point is you do wear things that he likes. The point is that you are still a challenge to him physically, spiritually, you're emotionally, mentally, in all these areas. You stay a challenge for your husband. You get involved with what he's involved in, that you can talk about things. Marilee knows who my favorite football teams are. Marilee can talk about, we can sit down and we can watch a football game together. And I'm going to tell you this, forget about all that football stuff. Let me tell you this. I do not know a better theologian than Marilee. I am telling you something. I bounce things off Marilee all the time. We can sit, and by the way, we don't agree with everything. You know, there's a couple things she's got to get right on doctrine yet, but... I will tell you, Marilee knows her Bible. Now, she grew up in a missionary home. I mean, her mom and dad are very, very now, and she grew up with a much deeper grounding in scripturally than I did. But I'm telling you, Marilee and I can discuss things. We hear a preacher. We don't come back and have the preacher for lunch, but she'll say, Jim, did you agree with what he said about that? Yeah. No. And I love that Marilee and I can talk about stuff. And we can talk. I think that stimulates and it challenges me. And you, ladies, you need to find out what your husband's interests are and you need to learn about them. Well, that's his life and this is my life. No. You need to stay a challenge that you can talk to him. That he doesn't have to go to his buddies or anybody else, that he can talk to you about that. Verbal praise, stay a challenge. And number three, and we're done. Learn how to trust God about your husband. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the four steps to appeal. And ladies, this is life-changing. This is worth the whole conference. And by the way, men, when you are under authority, this is the way that you appeal. Now, I'll tell you the three great illustrations in the Bible. Ruth, Daniel, and Abigail. And flat out, Abigail knocks it out of the park. The way that Abigail appealed to David is absolutely amazing. But I will tell you, Ruth did the same thing with, Esther. The way Esther handled Ahasuerus, the king, is amazing. And I'll tell you, this is exactly what Daniel did with the captain of the eunuchs. Use four steps of appeal. Number one, do you have the right motive? You have all the right in the world, ladies, to go to your husband about any matter. But before you go to your husband about any matter, ask yourself, are you going for the right motive? Oh, yeah, because I'll tell you right now, he keeps doing that to our daughter. She is going to be destroyed. He has no idea what he's doing to our daughter. Okay. Make sure you got the right motive why you're going. Is this about you, ladies, or is this about God's glory? You make sure you have the right motive. Number two, do you have the right time? Now, there is not a wife in this room, and it doesn't matter how long you've been married. You know that there's a right time to go to your husband and a wrong time to go to your husband. And sometimes you try to appeal with things in the middle of an argument or when he's dead tired or whatever. Listen to what Esther did. She prepared an entire meal for the king. And at the end of the meal, she appealed. No! She says, come back tomorrow. I mean, he is so baited. I mean, he's had two incredible meals. You've heard this said before. The way to a man's heart is through his. That comes out of Esther, man. That comes out of Esther. By the way, what does Abigail do? Abigail brings raisins. She brings loaves of bread. She brings honey. She brings all that food to David before she appeals. Oh, guys, it is biblical. Girls, oh, I'm serious. Probably the right time to talk. And you know what? You know, I know you guys are all laughing about this, but I'm telling you, first of all, we have lost family meals together. We don't have meals together. You see, the mealtime was a time that we were to converse and to talk over things. Ladies, I am telling you, that I think a lot of the right time has to do with food. Your husband will be more relaxed. He will, don't burn it then on that one. I say, you know what, I think we'll wait one more night. This didn't come out the way that I wanted it to. But you do, you have the right motive. Number two, guys, I'm telling you, it's biblical. Do you have the right time? Number three, do you have the right words? Very rarely has this ever happened, but every time it happened, it had an incredible impact on me. Marilee wrote me a letter about a few times. She wrote out, she was so concerned. One time it was about Luke, one time it was about our finances. One time it was about our physical intimacy. And she wrote out, she asked an appeal. And I think that was so, when I mean, like, she took time to write out what she wants to ask me. If nothing else, even if you don't give it to him in a letter, that you write out what you're going to say to your husband. I'll tell you, you get the right motive, you get the right time, you have the right words, and then here's the last one. And believe me, I'm going to end with a great story on this. Will you have the right response? If your husband says no, we're going to buy it. Knowing in your heart, Lord, that it's going to put us in bondage. We don't need that. And now he wants to buy this, and it's going to put us in bondage. But you have to have the right response. Lord, I appeal to him. I came with the right motive, I had the right time, and I had the right words. And he still said no. God, I'm going to have the right response, and he's all yours now. You do whatever you're going to do. By the way, men, I will tell you this. This is the way you come to your pastor. This is exactly the way you come to your pastor. If there's something going on in your church is drifting, your church is doing something, or you've got an idea for something and you want to appeal to your pastor about something, this is the way you come to your pastor. And by the way, that's true with your manager, your supervisor, your boss. You come to him with the right motive. You come at the right... I got stories of men using this. I got a great letter from a guy up in Grand Rapids that took these four things. And they were having this big company up in Grand Rapids was having this gay pride day, and everyone, all the employees had to do that. And he took these four things and went to his boss with the right motive, with the right time, with the right words, and he was going to have the right response. He did not think that this would be the reason why he should leave the company, but he really struggled with this, and he wrote a letter. And I got a copy of the letter that the guy wrote and a copy of the letter that his boss, the CEO of the company, wrote back. And they changed what they were going to do for Gay Pride Day or whatever it was. I can't remember all the details because the guy appealed right. This is the way you appeal to authority. You have the right motive at the right time with the right words, and you have the right response no matter what. And ladies, you'd be amazed at the impact that that would have on your husband. So we're going to close, and then we're going to go to dinner, and here's what we're going to close with. So about 5 years ago, I was doing a lot of traveling during the summer. I'd do one camp right after the other and just come home on the weekends. And one of the weekends I came home, Marilee says, Jim, the refrigerator's doing it again. it's freezing all the food. And it had nothing to do with the dial. We turned the dial way down, and we had already repaired it a couple times, and it was ruining our food. Your lettuce is ruined. All your vegetables are ruined. And she says, Jim, we got to get a new refrigerator. And you know what? I agreed to that. I knew we needed a new refrigerator. And I said, okay, Marilee. And again, my wife's assertive. She's confident. My wife knows how to pick out a refrigerator. So I had to go to the wilds the following week at camp. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. You pick me up Friday night. And then the next day, after we go out soul winning on Saturday morning, after visitation, we'll go out and I'll tell you what I want you to do this week. I want you to go around and I want you to find three refrigerators that you would want. And then when I come back next Saturday, we'll buy one of the three refrigerators. Well, she was all about that. She said, that's great. That'll be great. So all week long, man, she was out looking for her refrigerators, and she picked me up at the airport, and we're driving back, and I said, well, you got your refrigerator? She says, I got them. So we went on visitation Saturday morning, and then after that, we went out, did a little lunch thing, a little date thing, and then we went out, looked at her refrigerators. First one we went to is Best Buy, and I liked the one at Best Buy. It was on sale, had a nice warranty. It didn't have a lot of bells and whistles, but it had a price that I thought we could handle. And I thought it was good. Now, the second place we went doesn't exist anymore, but it was a place called Sears. And we went, she had picked out a really nice Frigidaire at Sears. And it was more expensive, had a little more bells and whistles to it. I thought it was good, but it was really large. And then we went to Lowe's. Now, the one at Lowe's was the most expensive. And it had all kinds of bells and whistles and pockets and all kinds of stuff. We looked at that one, and that was by far the most expensive one. So we're driving back. And as we're driving back, because we never just buy something right away. We always, a big purchase, we always pray about it or whatever. So we're driving back after we leave Lowe's. And I said, well, Marilee, I just think it. I like the one at Best Buy. I know, it's the cheapest. But I really like it, and it's very nice. And I know it doesn't have all the bells and the whistles, but I think we ought to get the one at Best Buy. There's total silence for about 20 seconds. Well, at this point, this was 5 years ago, so I've been married for 38 years. So at this point, I've been married long enough to know I obviously picked the wrong one. But my mind is thinking, how could I pick the wrong one? She picked out three. Now I picked the one of the three. So I'm thinking to myself, how can I pick the wrong one? She spent all week to pick three, and now I pick one of the three. But she doesn't say anything. So I know I picked the wrong one of the three, that I don't know how I could pick the wrong one. Yeah, it's not funny. Finally, she says something. And listen to what she says. Well, you say that the bells and whistles aren't a big deal. How would you know? You're never here. Well, what did you just say? Marilee. She said, don't worry about it. Whatever. Okay, yeah, whatever. So we start talking. I go, well, I'm getting a new refrigerator. Time we get home, we are not talking to each other. It got really tense fast. And here I've been gone most of the summer at the camps and everything. And so it just was just terrible. We get home, we're not talking to each other. I get home, I change my clothes, put my shorts on. I go out to the pool that hasn't been cleaned all week long. And I'm out vacuuming the pool. And I'm like, why couldn't Luke or Marilee clean the pool one time during the week? And I'm getting there, and I'm all mad. The Lord says, Stradivarius, no violin right now, God. No. This is ridiculous, man. This is ridiculous. I'm buying her a new refrigerator. What difference? She got all week long to pick out. She picked out three. I picked out one. Man, I got to tell you, I'm going, what the deal? And I'm out there, I'm vacuuming the pool, and I'm all upset. And God says, Jim, it was $500 more for the one, and that's to me a lot, $500 more at the one at Lowe's than the one at Best Buy. She says, is she worth 500? Yeah, but this is stupid. There's no reason. Man, she's getting a new one. Jim, get the one at Lowe's. Oh, man. I go back in the house. And it's been about an hour. Because it just took me a while to settle down. So I go back in, and I come over to Mary Lee. And I said, hey, honey, let's get the one at Lowe's. Now, every woman, you need to hear this because this is your whole session, okay? This is it. What happens next is huge. She looks at me and she says, no. I want the one at Best Buy. Everything is fine. Now, I have been married long enough to know when it's like, oh, whatever, or when it's like, she gave that to God. She gave that thing to God. And I am telling you the honest truth. I know that we get that one from Best Buy, Mary Lee's good to go. And I said, no, I want to get the one at Lowe's. She looks at me and she says, Jim, I am thankful that we're getting a new refrigerator. And I thought, yeah, well, you should have been a little earlier. You know? And I said, no, Mary Lee, the one. She said, no, I want the one at Best Buy. I said, okay, let's do this. I said, we're going right now. We're going to go get it right now. I go back and I'm changing my clothes. I'm going, man, alive. We just saved $500. Man, this is great. And I want every husband to listen to this. No, I want every wife to hear this. I'm in the back changing, and I am telling you, the Holy Spirit is all over me. Jim, get the one at Lowe's. Hey, God, I don't have to now. She did it. She did what she needed to do. She submitted like the wife's supposed to submit. We said, hey, I'll tithe on the $500, man. This is great. This is great. And that Holy Spirit is just ingraining me. Jim, you get the one at Lowe's. I don't have to get the one at Lowe's. I get Mary Lee's fine with it. She surrendered it to God. She's right with you. I'm right with you. We're all right with each other, man. This is great. We save $500. Well, every one of you know in this room what refrigerator we got. We got the one at Lowe's. But this is the coolest part of that story. So I get Mary Lee in the van, and we start driving. And we take a right. And we take a left, and we take another right. And she says, where are we going? I said, we're going to Lowe's. She says, no, we're going to Best Buy. I said, no, Mary Lee. This is it. Mary Lee, I want to get the one at Lowe's. And she said, Jim, I just want the one at Best Buy. And I said, I know you do. That's why I want to get the one at Lowe's. Because she gave that to God. She gave that to God. And because she did, I wanted to get the one at Lowe's. Now you hear this, ladies. Your husband does not need two Holy Spirits. And you let God do it because I'm in the back changing and I am literally, verbally, out loud, audibly talking to God. And I said, God, I don't have to get the one at Lowe's. Mary Lee's fine. And I am telling you, I don't hear a voice, but I'm hearing a voice. And God was saying, Jim, you get that one at Lowe's. And I know that was God, but I'm going to tell you, if Mary Lee is going to be the Holy Spirit, we're getting the one at Best Buy. But if you allow God to be his Holy Spirit, it'll be amazed what you'll see. And it's not about getting things. You understand that. It's just a classic illustration that when Mary Lee submitted and trusted, ladies, everyone together, and trusted God, then God said, I'll take care of it from here, Mary Lee. And we had situations with raising our boys that Mary Lee disagreed with me on things. And she just said, you know what, God? Jim, The buck ends with him. And if he's saying that this is what we need to do with Luke, then you know what? God, I'm not his Holy Spirit. God, you do whatever and how God. Now, Marilee and I would talk. We would disagree. We'd whatever. But then she gives it over to God, and then the Holy Spirit begins to work on me. You trust God. And that is exactly what this passage of Scripture is teaching. This passage of Scripture is not teaching that you're supposed to be under your husband's foot or anything like that. It's not what this passage is teaching that the women of old trusted in God. And they said, God, I trust you for my husband. And God, I am not submitting to him. I am submitting to you. And I believe that if I submit to you and I trust you for the authority that you've placed in my life, you'll take care of that authority. And girls, I'm going to tell you, that's the way you give respect and affirmation to your husband. Verbal praise, you stay a challenge, and you learn to trust God. You say, Brother Shuttler, what do you do when you know that you know that you know that he's making a bad decision? You appeal to him. And after you appeal to him, you give it to God. And I tell you what, you're going to start seeing things. You don't have to be his Holy Spirit. And that's where that husband goes, man, she's just nagging me all the time. And you know what? You say, I'm not nagging you. But you know what it is? It's you trying to be the Holy Spirit. Let it go and trust him. And I will tell you, your marriage will never be the same. And the greatest need of a man is respect and affirmation. And the greatest need of a woman is security. Now, you guys need to talk about these things in the next 24 hours. And men, you need to take the initiative. And then ladies, you need to come and say, you know what? What he said about the appeal, I'm going to start practicing that. And I want to ask you to forgive me, husband, because I think sometimes I've tried to be the Holy Spirit. And I just want to ask you to forgive me for that. I want to trust God to work in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, you start having stuff like what we talked about and you get some of these things taken care of, man, your prayers are going to be so powerful of how God will use your lives. Father, thank you for our marriages. Lord, I think you allowed Marilee and I to go through some of these things to help other people. And Lord, I do pray for Marilee and I. God, I want to finish strong. I want Marilee and our marriage to be good at the end. And God, I thank you for what you've taken us through. And I pray for these couples right now. And I ask, Lord, that there would be men here that would take some initiative and talk about the things that have been said. Because way more than Shuttler preaching it is what they do with it after they leave. And I think the husband's got to take the initiative. So, Lord, may he, and maybe he's not the best guy to carry the ball a lot of times, but, Lord, may he start, and as soon as he starts, may the wife come in with praise. Thank you for initiating this conversation. Thank you. And, Lord, give us godly women in here that stay a challenge to their husband, that praise their husbands, and trust you for their husband's leadership, even when they know that their husband's making a mistake, that they trust you, that they will say, God, you got to do this in his life. You got to do this. And Lord, it can be a lot bigger deal than over a refrigerator. I know that. But I think it's all the same truth. So God, give us marriages that bring honor and glory to you. Men and women are equal, Father, in their value and worth to you. But Father, may we all leave here knowing we're not equal in our roles, our responsibility, and our function. May we be the men and the women that you want us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.